comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this gorgeous planet. Thank you for being here. Welcome to talk radio like nowhere else on earth. It's the show where you matter. We're here because you have a right to know. Well, some curious things are in the news, folks. Part of what we talk about here on the show has to do with futuristic technology and futuristic science. So we've got a couple of things in the news that are in that category that I think you ought to at least know about, raise an eyebrow about just a little bit. The Obama administration is going ahead with plans to establish an Internet ID. Internet ID system. The way this will work is whenever you go on the Internet, you have this Internet ID that identifies you as being on the Internet. And it identifies you as being at a particular computer at a particular location. Some people say, well, I don't have anything to hide. It's okay. I don't care. Yeah. You know, I remember telling a policeman one time who was pressing me about could he search my car, and I had only been stopped for speeding. And I said, no. And he said, what have you got to hide? I said, nothing. He said, well, if you're not hiding anything in your car, why do you care if I look? And I said, well, I'm not hiding anything in my, I'm not hiding anything in my bed either. You're not going to sleep with me. So I don't have anything to hide, but I do have a right to privacy, you see. Meanwhile, good old Apple Computer, I guess you've been hearing about this today. Apple Computer, the makers of iPhone and iPad, they're not talking about the discovery that the software that runs the iPhones has a part of it that is tracking your every move. Wherever you go, wherever you move, it is collecting that information. And is available for download to police departments, available for download to all of those people who are out there just to keep us safe, you know. But Apple Computer's not talking about that. Now, again, there are people who say, well, you know, if you don't have anything to hide, why do you care? For people who say that, I would say this. How about you install glass walls on your house with no curtains? If you don't have anything to hide, why do you care? It's a matter of privacy. That's what it is. Tonight is going to be BYOT night, Open Line Live. I hope you'll be with us for the whole show, and we'll be back right after this. guess you can tell we're having a little pilot error here tonight. Not pushing the buttons on time. Okay. Well, we'll work on that. Do you remember, by the way, this is Open Line Live, and it's BYOT, Bring Your Own Topic. I've got a few, two or three to throw out real quick, and then we can talk about them, or we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. But do you remember back in November of 2010, I brought to you the information about a Dr. Alaeddin Shaheen out of Egypt, head of the archaeology department at Cairo University. And the report was at the time that he had said that the pyramids had an extraterrestrial component or a otherworldly component. And in other words, I think the exact quote was that there is something in the pyramids that is not from this world. At the time when I did that show, I asked the question, you know, because of where it had been published. It had been published on a site that's pretty well known for hyped up stuff. But I said, you know, even the tabloids sometimes get the scoop. And so we have to ask ourselves, is this information real? And I said that if there was never a denial from either Dr. Shaheen or from Cairo University, then we could assume that it was real if they never denied it. And I said, if he really said this, they're not going to deny it. They can't afford to, because the article names some people, or at least one person who was present. So, you know, if he actually said it and they deny it, then you're going to have people who were gathered for this conference coming forward and saying, he did say it. We heard him say it. So they couldn't afford to deny it if he actually said it. Well, I've gotten emails and even some calls here to the show asking if there had been any other developments on that since then, and I have said, no, there have not been. Well, there have been, or there has been, additional development in that story. And the additional development is a posting by Andrew Collins on the internet, and apparently it's been up there for some while. I just never had run across it. But to make a long series of events much shorter, what happened was Andrew Collins had posted that story that we talked about, the story that I've just described for you. He had posted that on his Facebook page, and within a few days took it down. And he took it down because he had received an email from someone who is a colleague of Dr. Shaheen, who said that he was very disturbed about that that statement, because he knows Dr. Shaheen, and he knows for sure that Dr. Shaheen would never have made such a statement. He never would have said such a thing. And so he was quite concerned about it, and he said, you know, I know he didn't say that. Well, Andrew Collins took it off of his Facebook page, but then a few days after that, he got an email from Dr. Shaheen, who indeed said that he had never made such a statement, and that he never would. Here is Dr. Shaheen's statement on this. Kindly be informed that I did not give such stupid statements about aliens and pyramids as I am Egyptologist. I could not say such stupid words and ideas. So there it is. Dr. Shaheen says he never made the statements that were attributed to him by this article that appeared in allnewsweb.com. I guess the ball's in their court. But anyway, he didn't say it, according to Dr. Shaheen. So that's the update on that. Those of you who are watching, and I'll describe this for everybody, those of you who are watching on our TV channel are seeing a photograph now that this is a sort of a flyover photograph. And when I first saw this, I thought, okay, this is night vision. And what we're looking at is some clouds, but there's a break in the clouds. And through the break in the clouds, we can see the ground, and there are buildings down there. What do you think about that? What do you think about that? I'll put that back up several times during the show, and I would like to know what you think that is. I think it's quite curious indeed. Another curious thing, and we've talked about this before, there is a place in India, an area of India, that shows all the signs of having been subjected to thermal nuclear blasts in the past. In fact, there is a thick layer of radioactive ash in the area of Rajasthan, a thick layer that dates from approximately 25,000 years ago. And it's the sort of radioactive ash where scientists expect to see that when there's been a nuclear explosion, a bomb. On your screens, if you're watching, there is a picture. It's a picture from above looking down at the ground, and we can see a bunch of skeletons laid out there. Now, this is in a it's in a place in India called, I think it's pronounced Mohenjo-Daro, and these skeletons are very ancient, and they are radioactive. These are the most radioactive skeletons ever found anywhere, and where they lay is an ancient town, and it looks as though these people were knocked flat to the ground. The scientist that worked with this said that it looks like something just absolutely knocked them flat to the ground. They even found a mother, a father, or a male and female, and a baby, and the mother and father are holding hands. But these are very radioactive. And the radioactivity in this, the pattern of the radioactivity in this, is what you would expect from a blast pattern. In other words, the pattern that would be thrown out from a bomb. The radioactivity in these skeletons is roughly equivalent to the radioactivity found in the skeletons after the dropping of the bombs at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And again, very ancient, approximately 25,000 years ago. Now, the reason that, of course, is interesting is that we had no idea anybody had any nuclear bombs 25,000 years ago, right? 25,000 years ago, we have the idea that most people were pretty much living in caves. Well, that's not how it was. And the evidence that's being daily speeded up by the archaeologists shows that that's not how it was. There were massive cities. There were really, for all intents and purposes, advanced technologies. And here there is evidence that somebody had nuclear bombs, nuclear weapons of some sort. Well, this is in India, and one of the ancient epic poems in India is the Mahabharata. Some people say it's the Vedic literature. It is part of that. But the Mahabharata has an account in it of a nuclear war, a huge war with flying machines and weapons, although they don't use the term nuclear weapons or atomic weapons. They describe them, and they describe the blast as brighter than the sun, and then they describe the effect on all the people, and they talk about, you know, people being, their flesh just being consumed right off of their skeletons, and those who did survive were very, very sick. Hair fell out, teeth fell out, and they were sick and finally died, and so forth. So they described a nuclear battle. That's a case where the academics for many, many years have said, well, you know, that they had such fanciful imaginations, and they imagined their gods with all of these wondrous powers. It's just mythological. It's just imagination. But as the archaeologists dig in that area, they're finding that it wasn't imagination at all. Someone had nuclear weapons, and someone used them. And apparently it all went down just pretty much as the Mahabharata says it went down. So what do you think about that, huh? Who do you think had the nuclear weapons? And why were they fighting? 25,000 years ago. 25,000 years ago. So a lot of this futuristic science that we're just now beginning to discover, we're not discovering it. We're rediscovering. Someone in the far distant past had it. Now, speaking of nuclear, let's go to Fukushima. Now, this has been really very much in the news here lately. Fukushima, Japan, of course, is the location of the reactor that's getting all the press, the nuclear reactor that is, they say, as bad as and maybe worse than the Chernobyl incident from a few years back. What happened here is there was a live feed from Japan and a video feed, and using that live feed, there were news agencies around the world talking about Fukushima, Japan, talking about this reactor, and they were showing this video. German television carried it live, and it went out all over Germany and thus to all of Europe. And what you see is a very large object, a very large UFO floating over the Fukushima nuclear reactor. And there are people that will say that I've seen one person called it a mothership. Now, it's big, but it's not big enough to be a mothership. It looks like it could be perhaps a couple of hundred feet long. And the angle that we're looking at, it's kind of a cylinder shape or a cigar shape. Now, because we're looking at it at this particular angle, it also, it could be a disc shape, and we simply, you know, we're looking right on its edge. If we were looking from under it, up at it, it might be disc shaped. We just can't tell. But there is quite a hubbub about this on the internet. And a lot of people are saying, well, this is proof that the aliens have come to help us at Fukushima. Other people are saying, well, there's no evidence that they're doing anything except observing. It doesn't appear they're helping at all. And, of course, we really, I guess, don't know. There's nothing in this video that suggests that they are intervening in any way at all. Absolutely nothing in this video to suggest that. However, we don't know if what they are doing is mitigating. I mean, this theory is out there that they are mitigating some of that radiation, a lot of that radiation, so that as bad as it is, it's not near as bad as it could be. Now, that's a possibility. However, you and I don't really know that. It's all speculation. But the point is, when we don't have all the data, all speculation is valid. And tonight, when we do open up the phone lines, which is coming in just a few minutes, when we open up the phone lines, I'd like to hear from you what your speculation is about this. I'd like to know what you think. Do you think that this video is indication that the extraterrestrials are actually helping, are actually intervening? Is that possible? And maybe what they're doing, maybe they can't get it all done for us, but they're at least mitigating some of the radiation so that what's escaping is not as much as it would be if they weren't there. Is that what you think? Or do you think that they're just sightseeing, as some people say, that they are just sightseeing and observing. Now, what goes with that theory is that when we do things with nuclear energy that go wrong, for instance, when we explode something, we explode a nuclear bomb of some kind, when we have a nuclear reactor in meltdown, that this is somehow disturbing other dimensions. And that is why the extraterrestrials are interested in it, because we're upsetting other dimensions where there are other worlds, there are other universes. There, you know, it's a parallel universe, if you will. And what we're doing is something that's really disturbing these other universes or dimensions. That's what goes with that. We'll be back after this, and we'll open up the phone lines for you. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it's open line live tonight. BYOT, bring your own topic. If you don't like any of the topics I've thrown onto the table, then feel free to call in with a topic that you would like to discuss, and we shall do so, okay? Let me give you the telephone numbers. The telephone lines are open. The telephone numbers are 623-444-5889, and for first-time callers, the telephone number is 623-237-3814, 623-237-3814, and I'd love to hear from you what you think about all of this. Not only the Fukushima power plant and the UFO seen, I'm not going to say it's hovering above the power plant. It's moving, but it's moving very slowly. Not only that, but we also have this picture where it looks like we're looking through night vision. You know, everything's kind of green, and it looks like we're looking down at the ground, and that there's a break in the clouds, and we're looking through the clouds down at the ground. It looks like buildings down there. I'd like to know what you think we are looking at. I'd like for you to describe what you think we're looking at, and give me your opinion on that. But back to the Fukushima power plant. You know, the Fukushima power plant is really, really doing some bad stuff in terms of radiation release and the type of radiation. One of our listeners sent me a link to a video. I'm going to put it in this week's K-Files. And by the way, if you're not subscribed to the K-Files, be sure you do subscribe before the show is over tonight. It's absolutely free, and there's no reason not to get it. But I'm going to put a link to this video in this week's K-Files. Now, this video is a video of a doctor talking about the various types of problems that the world is experiencing with the Fukushima power plant. One of the problems, one of the big problems, is it uses plutonium in its power rod mix, in its fuel rod mix. Plutonium is so deadly that, according to this doctor, if you had plutonium as a powder and you had 1 pound of it and you dispersed it into the atmosphere worldwide, 1 pound of this plutonium is enough to cause every person on the planet to get cancer. And she goes on then to talk about how much plutonium the Fukushima power plant uses and how much radiation is being released. Very, very serious stuff. And, you know, we think because, well, the news isn't covering it every day and, you know, well, they must be getting a handle on it. No, they're not. They're not getting, well, I guess it's a matter of degrees, I guess. But no, they're saying it'll be 6 to 9 months before they are able to bring this to a cold shutdown. 6 to 9 months. Folks, that end of Japan is going to be uninhabitable. That end of Japan is going to have to be an exclusion zone, a zone, a no-go zone. On top of that, radiation is being dumped into the ocean, radioactive water being dumped into the ocean. On top of that, the power plant is releasing large amounts of radiation. And they say, well, it's not that much. Large amounts of radiation into the atmosphere, and it doesn't need to be that much when it's got plutonium in it. It can be a small release, but if it's got plutonium in it, it's deadly. And so this doctor described one of the fuel rods. She said these fuel rods are about 12 feet long, and they're about half an inch in diameter. And there's so much radiation coming off of just one of these fuel rods that if you were to stand next to it, stand near it, for 2 minutes, it would kill you. And, you know, there's a whole bunch of these fuel rods. A whole bunch of them. Now, people who are watching on our TV channel, you're seeing the video of this UFO flying over, and you see that there are these cone-shaped towers there. Well, those cone-shaped towers, according to that doctor, this is where they take the rods. They're taking the rods and they're putting them into these towers to try and cool them down. And these towers are open at the top and they are venting into the atmosphere. Now this UFO is floating over these cone-shaped towers, and that's quite curious. Very curious indeed. One has to wonder, does one not, if in fact this UFO is taking measurements, and if so, is this UFO doing anything to mitigate, to lessen the amount of radiation that's actually getting out into the atmosphere? Is it sort of like a sponge soaking up some of the radiation? Is that what's going on? It's hard to tell. Now, maybe you look at this and you say, well, I don't think that's a UFO at all. I think it's something else. Okay. Well, that's what Open Line Live is about. It gives you the opportunity to say what you think it is. So what do you think? If you don't think that's a UFO, what do you think? 623-444-5889. First-time callers can call us at 623-237-3814. And, of course, if you are outside of the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can, if you wish, use our flash message option that's on the website. You just go to my website, kevinsmithshow.com, and scroll down until you see the picture about tonight's show. When you see the picture about tonight's show, look to the right, and you will see the flash message link. You can send me a flash message and include your comments or your questions, and I'll read them and address them on the air. And we always enjoy getting communications like that from anyone who is outside the USA and outside of Canada. If you're in the USA and you're in Canada, it's not an email show, it's a talk show, and we have telephones where you can talk. How about that? 623-237-3814, or first-time callers at, that's the first-time caller line. 623-237-3814 is the first-time caller line. And the regular line is 623-444-5889. Now, I want to go back to this story out of India for just a moment while some of you are collecting your courage. This is not a new story. I've been talking about this since the very early years of this show. I'm not sure that in the very first year of this show that I talked about it, but I know that by the second year I had begun doing shows where we talked about this area of India where there is a thick layer of radioactive ash. And it's the sort of ash where you would expect at a nuclear blast site. I want to share with you a report from that area that is this ought to make you raise an eyebrow or two. further south, the British official, J. Campbell, stumbled upon some ruins with a half-vitrified courtyard produced by an unknown agent. Now, vitrified is, this is where stone is turned to glass, or sand gets turned to glass. Another explorer by the name of H.J. Hamilton received a substantial shock when he entered a low-domed building. He says, suddenly the ground gave way under my feet with a curious noise. I got into a safe place and then widened the hole which had appeared with my rifle butt and lowered myself into it. It was a long, narrow corridor which got its light from the space where the dome had split. Interesting that it's a dome, isn't it? At the bottom, I saw a kind of a table and a chair made of this same crystal as the walls. And an odd shape was crouching on the seat with vaguely human features. And then he says, looking at it from close by, I thought it might be a statue damaged in the course of time. But when I glanced, I saw something which filled me with horror. Under this glass, which covered the statue, was a skeleton. A skeleton could clearly be seen. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Leslie. I'm calling from Morgan.
Hello, Leslie.
Yeah, hi. I was calling about the radioactive skeletons.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry if you've already covered this, but and I could be wrong, but you know how they talk about certain nuclear power plants or sites, something about how they're able to track where, I don't know if it's the radiation or uranium, something like that, how they're able, each site has its own number or...
Yeah, it's got its own signature, sort of.
Yeah, signature. Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Do you know, have they tested the skeletons? Have they found the signatures or something like that? Sorry.
Well, no, what they found is that this is from about 25,000 years ago. And so they would not have those signatures of those things registered.
Yeah, that would make sense. Just looking at the bodies, I mean, some of them, it looks like, you know, they had their, or the skeletons, like they had their arms up, like they said, they fell or they were thrown to the ground or something, you know. It's crazy looking at all that.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, it's a pretty mysterious thing because it's right in the region where the Mahabharata says this took place. Can you hang on through the break?
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back, folks, right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and it's BYOT night. That means bring your own topic. If you don't like any of the topics I threw on the table, bring your own. We'll talk about it. On the line with me is Leslie, and Leslie, we were talking about this situation where archaeologists have uncovered these skeletons, and they are very radioactive. This whole region of India has a thick layer of radioactive ash, which you would expect to get from the dropping or the exploding of a thermonuclear weapon. And the Mahabharata, ancient Indian epic, describes a war in which they were using, in that you read the description. If I don't tell you that it's from the Mahabharata and I just read it to you and use modern English instead of the sort of epic grammar that they use, just use modern English, and I just read the description to you, you would say, well, that is a nuclear war. And the Mahabharata is talking about something that happened. Mahabharata is very ancient, and they're talking about something that happened in times that were ancient to them.
Was there a city built over this, or is
yeah? This is a small town, not a huge city, where these skeletons are. Now, this is the whole area where this took place is a big area. It's the Rajasthan province. But these skeletons are at a place. There's about 40 skeletons right here where the picture is. But it's at a place that's a small town. There were more than 40 people and more than 40 skeletons. But this is right in the center of town, and 40 skeletons just laid out there like this.
And what is the official statement by the scientists, I'll say? What have they come up with? I shouldn't say that, but... yeah.
Well, no, that's fair. There are various opinions about it, but all of them come out at the same place. They admit, we just don't know. It's odd. It's an anomaly.
At least they admit they don't know instead of coming up with something crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Did you see that picture that I put up about the one that's green and we're looking down through the clouds at the ground?
Yeah. To me, when it came up, I thought, or I think, it looks like buildings or a city or something. That's what it looks like to me. But it looks like buildings because it's very, the squares.
Mm-hmm.
And everything, so that's the first thing I thought of was a dense or like a big city, looking down at it with all the buildings and stuff, looking or even like a satellite picture. That's
what I thought immediately when I first saw it. And I will tell you, this is on Earth. This is not on another planet, so it's not a trick like that. It is on Earth. But there is a mystery about it that I'm going to share a little bit later. It'll, I think, surprise you.
Well, looks like a city. That's my vote. So.
Okay. Well, thank you for the call.
Thank you. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. Or, if you're a first-time caller, we've got a line for you. You don't have to call it, but... it's there to make it easier for you to get in, okay? And that number is 623-237-3814. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Okay. I guess that caller did not wish to talk. 623-444-5889 is the main number. The first time caller line is 623-237-3814. Let's go to the first time caller line. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Okay. That caller did not wish to speak either. Well, what a curious night here at the Kevin Smith Show. We've got people calling in who don't want to talk to us. Well, I got news for you, folks. It's a talk show. And when you call in, you got to talk. That's the way it works. All right, caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? You know what? Hang on. Try that again. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Leah from Tennessee.
Hello, Leah.
Hey. the picture that with the green?
Yeah.
Well, it might be kind of crazy, but being since night vision, I would think it's a possibility of looking up through clouds at the bottom of a ship.
Oh, there you go. There you go. I hadn't thought about that. You might be looking at the bottom of a some kind of a spaceship going over, or some kind of flying something, and you're looking up through a hole in the clouds.
Yeah.
That could be.
That's what we're seeing, the strangest things. I've caught, through these clouds, I've seen a dark object through them.
Uh-huh.
A couple pictures of that.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's like a shadow through the clouds, but it's solid.
Okay. Well, this would be a pretty big ship, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah.
It'd be pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But I understand that there are some. As a matter of fact, the one that's flying over the nuclear reactor at Fukushima is pretty big.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Things are crazy.
Things are crazy.
That's me.
Yeah. So, okay. What do you think about the skeletons? Those radioactive skeletons?
A lot. I've wondered often if history doesn't repeat itself with just maybe slight alterations and interferences, but it sure does seem like we repeat ourselves. I mean, can't help but wonder if we're not looking at ourselves in the future kind of repeating.
So what you're saying is maybe they had nuclear power, and they either with bombs or a reactor or something.
Well, haven't you ever gotten the feeling we've done this all before?
Oh, well, yeah. You know, if you've heard me say on the show, it's my opinion that there have been in the ancient past civilizations on this planet that equal us and possibly exceed us in technology.
Yeah.
I think that's the case, and I think there's evidence for it.
I think so too, and you know, obviously it could be us, like caught in a loop with, you know, certain changes or people trying to interfere. Like, I think our technology is way past what we know about, so obviously we have interference. So possibly we could be as advanced as some of the cultures we've seen evidence of.
You know,
that advanced by now too.
That sort of sounds like being caught in the Matrix.
Yeah, it's a loop.
So where do we go from here?
Huh?
Where do we go from here if we're in a loop?
Yeah, exactly. How do we not make that same mistake and get out of the loop?
What do you think about nuclear power? Should we shut down all the nuclear power plants, or should we just do things to make them safer? What do you think?
Well, you know, Kevin, I remember, it shows my age, but when we fought them having them in the first place, we voted them down, everybody screaming no, 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 and they did it anyway.
That sounds familiar. They do that on tons of legislation, don't they?
Yeah, and it made no difference, and here we are.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing we say makes a difference. You know, Congress, what the heck?
Can you hang on through the break? Yeah, hang on. We'll be back, folks. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. On the line with me is Leah from Tennessee. And Leah, we were talking about this idea that maybe we're in sort of a matrix and we're repeating ourselves. But you know something, I really, really do think that there is evidence that there have been high technology civilizations on this planet long before us. Now, were they us? Were they Homo sapiens? Well, possibly. I think some of them were, but I think there may have been other civilizations that were humanoid, but not Homo sapien, that were much advanced, and probably advanced beyond where we are. Now, some people would say, well, that's crazy. That's nuts. But you see, we find artifacts from several million years ago that are highly tooled artifacts that you would have to have a laser to do them. And they're found in strata that's millions of years old. Well, you know, somebody made them. Are you still with me, Leah?
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you think? A million, we'll say 10 million years ago.
Or maybe more.
Or maybe more.
And obviously some come, go, and start all over. I've wondered if it wasn't the conehead type people that made the pyramids, considering the coneheads were found in South America as well as Egypt and all over where they seem to find these pyramids. And obviously whoever built those was more advanced, and I think they were pre-Atlantis.
Well, maybe it was them. And maybe the story here is that high technology civilizations arise, abuse the earth, and the earth shakes itself free of them. Maybe that's the case. Maybe the earth gets tired of being abused and shakes itself free of its abusers.
You know, which, look at what we've done to the planet now. It's not going to give her much choice but do the same thing to us.
As a matter of fact, they used to talk global warming all the time. Now, they don't talk that much anymore, and the reason they don't is because it's now been discovered that in order to arrive at their theory, they cook the books. So they don't talk about that anymore. But you know what the scientists are saying about why all of the Arctic ice is melting so fast? They're saying it has a layer of soot on it, imperceptible to the naked eye, but it's there, and it's causing the absorption of heat rather than reflection of heat, and so it is melting the ice faster.
Where are you saying the soot's coming from?
Well, I don't know. I would expect the soot is coming from us. Now, see, I could live with that theory that all of this pollution is causing a layer of soot on the ice. I could live with that theory, I think. But the global warming theory didn't make any sense. You don't heat up the planet simply by heating up the air.
No, we've had the coldest winter we've had since 10 years since I've been here.
Yeah. Yeah, but the soot thing, I could see that because I'm not saying that it's true, but I can see the possibility of it because we're pumping billions of tons of pollution into this atmosphere around the world. And so I could see that. But, you know, there is a theory that the Earth is it's living. And once it identifies something as a virus, it goes to work to free itself of that, to rid itself of that virus. And the theory says we've done things to make sure we get identified as a virus.
Yeah. Well, you know what's really sad?
Hmm.
Is that you can't trust anybody with... You can't believe anything you hear. And I have a tendency now that if they tell me that cigarettes are bad for you, well, I'm going to think they're good for you.
You know, they're not.
I mean, you got to use common sense, obviously, but you know what I mean. It's like everything they say is like, okay, let's look at the opposite side because they're trying to make you look here. Well, let's look the opposite direction then.
Yeah.
And it's just so sad that these people are ruining the planet, and we can't believe anything we're told, so how are we supposed to know what to do about it?
Well, that's it. They and I'm not sure there's anything you can do about it because of what you described with the nuclear power plants. People were against them. They voted against them. They didn't want them, and they did it anyway. The same thing is true of a whole bunch of things, big things in our society that were pushed through regardless of what the people wanted. And they're still doing it. Right now, there's a House bill in Congress that if it passes, you're going to have the Codex, what is it called? Alimentarius, something like that, that's going to outlaw all your food supplements, your health food supplements. Now, they're not calling it that, but the language of the bill does that. It outlaws the alternative health supplements. And they're trying to ram that through as quick as they can right now. And that isn't what people want.
No.
But what the people want and what Congress does have no relationship to each other.
Well, that's the whole point. If they say something like the vaccines are good for you, and they're killing people. So it's opposite of what they're saying. They outlawed marijuana, even medicinal marijuana, when it's been proven it's a natural healing herb. And not even allowing people to use it for medicine. They voted against that to allow it to be used for medicine. And then they just passed another bill on, as soon as that was, the people voted, make it legal, medicinal, it's legal. And then they, right after that, they wrote another bill to throw people in jail who sell it.
Did you know that the United States government promoted, I mean, hot and heavy, promoted the growing of marijuana up through the end of World War II. They needed the hemp for the war effort.
Well, that should say it. History always has. It's a gift from Mother Nature, big time.
Yeah.
Makes the best paper, clothes, you name it, it provides it. It's a gift from nature all the way around.
Did you know the Constitution is written on hemp paper?
Yeah, that's why it's lasted. I mean, think about it. Anything made today don't last.
Yeah, yeah. Well, listen, I want to thank you for the call. This has been very, very interesting.
What's real, you know? And
what?
Matrix and computers and everything is so tech that nothing's real anymore.
Yeah, well, see, that's part of the illusion that they're trying to weave around us. That there is no such thing as reality. And you've heard me say there is. And reality stands on its own two feet and stares you in the face. And but there are people who think we create our own reality. And that's what the perception manipulators use. They use that belief to create an unreal world, to make you believe in something that's not real. And but we don't create our own reality. We have our perceptions of reality, and we create, by our perceptions, we create our experience with that reality.
Well, how much control do you have when they're manipulating that perception every day of your life?
Well, you have to unplug yourself from their system. And what you have to do is...
That's where the slavery comes in, because now it's nobody, you know, keeps saying, oh, we've progressed so much that we don't know how to do nothing for ourselves. We can't grow our own garden. We don't know how. Mm-hmm. All that knowing how to do what they didn't know how to do 100 years ago, we don't know how to do it.
Yeah, well, you have to unplug yourself from their system and learn how.
Yeah,
and,
but there's nobody left.
Yeah, and, you know, it is a... It's a minority in the country of people who really can think for themselves. They can't think for themselves. They repeat the mantras that they are taught. A few people can think for themselves, but the majority repeat the mantras they are taught. And, you know, they keep saying things. You see it on television where they interview people at the airports, and they say, well, you know, if this helps keep us safer, it's okay. I defy anybody to show how any of that stuff at the airport actually makes you safer.
Well, it's been the problem is the victim is the one that gets the crooks are still going to get away with it. The victim who's paying.
Mm-hmm.
The innocents.
Yeah, if in fact the if in fact Al Qaeda did 911, as our government says, if that's what happened, they won. Because look at us now. We went from being the freest nation on earth to being the most overregulated, spied on, reported on nation in the so-called free world. And now your iPhone.
You and I are about the same age. Do you remember? Well, you said it yourself. When you left the country and then you came back, it was totally different. And even living here, it seemed that way. Just like overnight, all of a sudden, mm-hmm. you can't breathe without getting a license.
Yeah, you can't breathe without getting a license. And furthermore, you're being spied on. You're being spied on by several layers of federal intelligence agencies. Reports are filed. My file must fill a room. Listen, Walmart Security is partnered with the Department of Homeland Security, according to Janet Napolitano. And if they hear something in Walmart that they think is suspicious, they report it to Homeland Security. So you're being spied on when you go to Walmart. Your iPhone is recording every movement you make. You leave your house with your iPhone and you go next door. It records that. Date, time, and location. And then you leave there and you go get gas for your car. It records that. Every movement. Your iPhone is recording that. And Apple won't respond to questions about who is that reporting to and why is it in their software for the iPhone.
Have you come up with any idea on how to really make a difference on really trying to get our country back and get on the right feet and work on actually? Because I remember back when I was younger, back in the 70s, I mean, all that stuff we fought for to stop all the drilling in Alaska and save all that and not run the pipes, and we won until Bush got back in.
And then, well, now in fairness, they ran those pipelines long before Bush.
Oh, they did run them, but they stopped them. What I'm saying is actually made progress. I lived where I lived off the rivers. They actually stopped for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And where the St. John's in Jacksonville, Florida was so bad. And, you know, within a few years, you could see a difference.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's right back to the way it was again.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it actually had hope. Things were actually, like, people were waking up for a while, and then, bam, it was like somebody knocked everybody on the head, and they're back asleep again.
Yeah. There's no way to, quote, get our country back without people waking up, and they're not waking up. They're anesthetized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, they have this idea that the Constitution is...
What was that show that... it was a remade show where when he came back, you know which one I'm talking about. The day that the world stood still.
Okay.
And, you know, when he came back, and in order to say, okay, we'll give you a chance, but he took away all the technology.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to wonder. I wonder if that would be what it take, because you know when electricity goes out, everything stops.
Yeah, it does.
Have you ever been anywhere where the electricity went out? Everything stops.
I lived for 2 years where there was no electricity at all.
Yeah, but now when you go into a restaurant, what happens if the electricity goes out?
Yeah, I know.
Everything stops.
I know.
You go to the store, they lock the doors. You go home. I've seen people even in their homes just sit there, including my own kids, which. Electricity goes out, they sit there and don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's something to say, don't you think?
Well, I do. But I lived for 2 years where there was no electricity. I lived for 2.5 years where in the wintertime you would not have electricity for most of the winter. And, you know, so you have alternative ways of getting things done. And it's rough, it's rustic, but hey, you know. Those people get it done. In this country, most people won't survive it. That's true. Leah, I've got to run along, but I want to thank you for the call.
You have a good night, and it's nice to be able to talk to you again.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That's the main number. We have the first-time number. If you're a first-time caller, you can call me at 623-237-3814. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Brent from Wyoming.
Hello, Brent.
I'm going to start with the UFO over Japan.
Okay. What do you think about that?
If I remember correctly, these things appear over power stations, earthquakes, and volcanoes, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, now the video that I'm showing on the channel, it is directly above the Fukushima power plant. It's a nuclear power plant.
That's what I'm working towards.
Mm-hmm.
My thought is that their ships are able to gather some kind of energy from power stations, earthquakes, and volcanoes. They probably prefer the natural forms of energy, but they can, I'm hoping, and this is speculation and it's wishful thinking, I'm hoping they're able to mitigate some of the radiation by absorbing it.
That may be the case. That may in fact be the case.
I'm hoping. I guess it's wishful thinking because I don't know what their technology is.
Now, Brent, I can't verify that what I'm about to say is true. I can only relate that I have heard this, okay? But I have heard that when the Chernobyl disaster took place, that, you know, there was a pilot that kept flying in there and dumping concrete on it, and the radiation killed him, but he's a national hero in Russia. But he kept flying in there and dumping this concrete. And I said Russia, Ukraine is where this was.
Yeah.
But he's a national hero there. I have heard that all the time that he was flying in there and dumping that concrete, there was a UFO hovering there, and that the UFO, when it appeared, the radiation levels began to drop and began to drop rather dramatically. Now, have you heard that story?
No, I haven't. It's the first time I heard it.
Well, it may not be true, but I have heard it.
If it is true, it would say they're able to do something, hopefully.
I don't know. Maybe they can't do everything. Maybe they can't make it all well for us. Maybe that's the case. But perhaps the presence of these UFOs is doing something to mitigate the amount of radiation that's getting out there in the air.
Yeah. Now, on to your picture from the looking through the clouds.
Okay.
My first thought was farmland. But then I got to looking at the, remembering the pictures that Jerry Wills took of the lakes in, or the satellite, not Jerry Wills, but it's the bottoms of the lakes. That could be the bottom of the lake. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. Now, I've done a couple of shows where I showed those pictures. Those are pictures from Google Earth where you're looking right down into these lakes that are high in the Andes.
Yeah.
And there appear to be massive structures down in the bottoms of those lakes. So I hadn't thought about that. Maybe that's what this is.
But to me, it looks like farmland.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And the skeletons.
Okay.
All I can say about that is that they were on the periphery of the blast zone. The only reason I say that is because I took a class on the atomic bomb, and within the first mile of the Hiroshima bomb,
mm-hmm.
there was a guy who was bent over tying his shoe when the bomb went off on a step.
Mm-hmm.
All that remained of him was a shadow.
Okay.
So these skeletons would have to be on the periphery of the blast zone.
All right. What do you think? I mean, do you think that we have had past ancient civilizations here that were highly technological enough to have had nuclear weapons?
I'm of the opinion that we did, yes.
What do you think happened to them?
All the evidence supports
it. What do you think happened to them?
They went through the same thing we're about to go through. They just got wiped out.
You think we're about to be wiped out?
Maybe not completely, but our technology is going to be taken away.
Okay.
I have a feeling.
All right. Well, that's possible, of course. Entirely possible. Okay. Well, Brent, I want to thank you for the call. By the way, I read your blog in the members area about the powers that want to be, and you make a good case. Why don't you make that case right now?
All right. The powers that want to be are little more than bullies on a playground. They're afraid of the power that is. They're afraid of the principle. If we call them the powers that be, we are subconsciously giving them the power that they want. Just call them the powers that want to be, because that's all they really are. They have no power unless we give it to them.
Well, you know, that goes along with, you've heard me say it, powerful people are only as powerful as the rest of us let them be.
Yep.
Yeah. It was a good blog, by the way. I enjoyed reading it.
Okay.
All right, thanks, and have a good evening. Thanks for the call. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That is the number to call, unless you're a first-time caller. You can call that number as a first-time caller, but you also can call us, if you're a first-time caller, at 623-237-3814. If you are outside of the United States and you're outside of Canada, you can use our flash message option that's on the website if you wish to. You can call us as well. But if you want to, you can use the flash message option. And you go over to my website, scroll down, and you'll see the picture about tonight's show. When you see the picture about tonight's show, look to the right. When you look to the right, you'll see the link. So just scroll down. You see the picture. Look to the right. There's the link. It says flash message, all right? So you can send me your comments or your thoughts about this and or, you know, any topic. It's BYOT, bring your own topic. If we're not talking about what you would rather us talk about, all you have to do is call in and say, I want to talk about this. And away we go, all right? Kind of like talk show jukebox. You push the magic numbers and transport yourself here to the show via your telephone. And you tell us what it is that's on your mind, and we'll discuss that. As long as it's within our genre of the strange and unexplained. And I do find these stories that we're looking at tonight to be strange and unexplained. This UFO over the nuclear power plant is unmistakably there. If you haven't seen it, and if you're not a member at Kevin Smith Show, if you're a member, you can watch the show, so you're seeing it. But if you're not a member, you can go over to YouTube and do a search for Fukushima UFO. Or UFO Fukushima nuclear plant. And there are several versions of it. Now, the version that I'm using, well, I'll tell you about it when we get back. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's Open Line Live tonight, and it's BYOT. That means we'll talk about what's on your mind. All you have to do is push those magic numbers, 623-444-5889, or first-time callers at 623-237-3814. If you're outside the USA and you're outside of Canada, you can send me a flash message, and or you can call, either one. All right, I was talking about this version of the Fukushima UFO, this version of the video that I'm using. Now, you have to realize that this thing, this video, originally is from Japan TV News. It was a live feed. It was being used by various news organizations, and in Germany they used it live, and they broadcast this live. And so people all over Europe got to see this, and then somebody loaded it to the internet, and it went sort of viral. And so now there are several versions of it. The one that I'm using, the person who uploaded it, shows us the video as it was broadcast. Then they show us the video with it zoomed in. Same video, but they've zoomed in on that UFO. And then they do several color filters so you can see it in different shades, different colors. And you can see this is not a cloud. It is a well-defined something. And it is moving. And it's flying from right to left over the power plant. Now, is there a possibility this is some kind of something that was put up there by the people that are trying to bring this under control? Well, anything's possible. You know, it could be some kind of blimp or something. If so, it's not built like any other blimp you've ever seen. And it's flying. It's not hovering. And none of the official sources have come out and said, no. You people are wrong about this. That's a Chinese wedding candle. They haven't said, no. You're wrong about this. That's a blimp. That's a weather balloon. That's a heat inversion. That's a squadron of fighters from the Maryland National Air National Guard dropping flares. They haven't told us any of that stuff, you see. So nobody's talking about it. I think it's what it is. I think it's real. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
James.
Hello, James, and where are you calling from? From Arkansas?
Yes.
What's on your mind, James?
Oh, shoot. I've been listening for a while, and I've just split shifts from third to first, so I used to listen to you all the time. I just wanted to call and say thank you for all the things you've done for the people. You know, the country.
Well, and, thank you, James. Thank you. I appreciate it. Are you at work now?
No, I'm off. I've got tomorrow off, so I stayed up to listen to you. And I missed your show yesterday talking about the spaceship that's outside the, you know, on the orbit of the Earth.
Yeah.
And so I was just surprised that got through, because I've called a couple times and not been able to get through to you. So,
well, that happens sometimes, but I'm glad you did get through, and I thank you for your kind words. All right, James, have a good evening, and thanks for the call. All right, James from Arkansas. It's always nice to hear nice things. You know, I hear a lot of things that aren't nice these days. You know, you've heard me talk about people with mental road rash, and some of you think I'm just being too harsh. But it's not, it doesn't just happen to me. It happens to anybody now. There's a 13-year-old girl that has recorded this video with her singing about It's Friday, and she put it up on YouTube, and it's gone viral. Lots of people like it. Lots of people don't. Would you believe this 13-year-old girl has now gotten death threats from some people on the internet if she doesn't take that off of the internet? Death threats. This is what I'm talking about. People with mental road rash. There is insanity in the land, folks. Insanity in the land. The inmates are running the asylum now. And so it's always nice when someone goes against the trend and calls in and says something nice about what you're doing. I appreciate it. 623-444-5889. Or first-time callers at 623-237-3814. And, of course, international calls outside of the USA and outside of Canada. You can call us, or you can use our flash message feature if you wish. I think in talking about this UFO at the Fukushima plant, someone asked me the other night, do you think that the UFOs are trying to help us? And without hesitation, I said no. And they were talking about in relationship to this disaster in Japan. Do you think they're trying to help us? No. Just that quick, I said no. And that's exactly what I thought at the time. Now I wonder. I had not seen this video, and in fact, I'm not sure this video was out when I was asked that question. But watching this video, and we can see this UFO is going directly over that plant, and it's low. It's very low. There's maybe 100 feet of clearance between the tops of those towers and that UFO. It's very, very low, and it's going very slowly above the plant. So if that is an extraterrestrial craft, and I think there's a good possibility that it is, if it's extraterrestrial, they could be just observing, that's true. But there's also the possibility they may be doing something to mitigate some of that radiation to make it so that it's not quite as bad. Maybe they can't get it all done, but you know, they're doing something to try and help. Maybe. I hope so. Caller, you are live on the first time caller line. Your first name and from where are you calling?
My name is Mark, and I'm calling from Kitchener, Ontario.
Okay, Mark from where?
This is just a small town, Kitchener, Ontario.
Oh, Ontario, okay. What's on your mind?
Okay, Kevin, I have a question, not really related
to okay.
what you were talking about, but I was wondering about, you know, the dog star, Cyrus.
Uh-huh.
Can you tell me something about it? Because I hear, you know, that this is something that the Masons believe.
Yeah. The Dagon tribe in Africa, their whole cosmology and their history and their religion all revolve around the Dog Star, what we call the Dog Star, which is Sirius. The thing is, they knew that there was a Sirius B. In other words, they knew it was a binary system when we did not. The rest of the world, the so-called civilized world, did not know that. And their tradition said that it was, in fact, a double star system and that they are from there. You know, they have in their tradition, in their teachings, they have quite a bit of information that is not contained in the books of so-called civilized, the civilized world. One of the things that the Dagon say is that that's where they are from, and that many, many, many millennia ago, their forefathers came from that star to this earth, and that they will be coming back. So,
Do you believe that this? Hello.
I'm listening.
Do you believe that this red planet or Nibiru is this? This planet, it's I would say somebody live on this planet, is occupied by those from Sirius, or somebody
no,
else, I mean, different creatures, or I would say somebody else live on this planet.
Well, the information that we have about Nibiru comes from Zechariah Sitchin. And he's the one who tells us that this information comes from Sumerian tablets written in cuneiform. But there's nothing that he ever said, as far as I know, to tell us that the inhabitants of Nibiru originally come from Sirius, A or B. He says that the Sumerians call them the Anunnaki. But there's nothing about them coming from Sirius, as far as I know. Now, I do get asked sometimes whether I think that planet exists, if I think it's real. And I have to be honest and say, I don't know. You know, the Sumerians knew things about our solar system that we didn't discover until modern times. But they knew, and they accurately described things and accurately depicted things that we didn't discover until the 20th century. Some of those things we didn't discover until the 20th century. For instance, Pluto was not discovered till 1930, but the Sumerians knew about it. With the Dagon, the Dagon knew that Sirius was a twin star, a binary star system. But we didn't know that. And now we do. So when you look at things like this, you know, you have to say, well, how did they know? They didn't have telescopes. How did they know? They were accurate. How did they know? And the only answer that makes any sense is someone from out there came here and told them. For instance, Pluto. On the clearest night in the history of the universe, you will not see Pluto. You can't see Pluto on the clearest night in the history of the universe. So they didn't know about it by observation, because you cannot observe it. So, you know, is Nibiru real, or some people call it Planet X? Well, even NASA scientists have said there's something out there. It's gigantic. It's huge. We have discovered there is something out there. So even NASA scientists have said that. I have to assume that it is perhaps real. All right, Mark from Ontario, thank you for the call. We have to take a break, and we'll be back, folks, after this. And And welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. It's BYOT. Bring your own topic. Open line live tonight, 623-237-3814. That's the first time caller line, 623-237-3814. Or our line for those of you who are not first time callers, 623-444-5889, and of course the flash message option is open. Well, at the top of the show, I showed a picture and I described it for those who are listening. It looks like a night vision photograph. It's green. So it looks like it's done with night vision equipment. And it looks like we're looking down through the clouds. And we're seeing, some people have said a city, some people have said farmland. Looks like structure down there. And, you know, it's very rectilinear and very regular geometric patterns, as you would see if you were looking down on a city from the air. So I want to tell you what that is. It's not night vision. This photograph is from a sonar. That is under the ocean. That is in, people think that is in the Caribbean. Now we don't know, because the people who discovered it are not releasing the location of this. They say it's in the Caribbean. Perhaps it is. But they're not, they haven't released the location of this because they don't want other people going and claiming the discovery before they have a chance to go explore this. That is on the bottom of the sea. That looks like a big city. Now, provided that they are, in fact, telling the truth about it being in the Caribbean Sea, that sort of connects up, doesn't it, with what Edgar Casey said. Maybe. I mean, you know, Edgar Casey said that the that Atlantis was going to be discovered. It will be in the Caribbean. They're going to discover it. And he went on to say that some of the land of Atlantis will resurface. Well, this is in the Caribbean. Now, there are other structures, pyramids and things like that, that have been found off of the coast of Cuba as well. They're under the sea. And it looks very much like a city or a temple complex. But this is not that location. This is a different location. And nobody knows exactly where that is, except the people who discovered it are saying that it's in the Caribbean. And they released these pictures, this picture, to the French press. And they say that it probably predates the pyramids. I don't know how they know that. Now, they must have some more pictures that show them something that causes them to say it predates the pyramids. I don't think it would be difficult for it to predate the date, the official date that's put out by academia and Egyptologists about when the pyramids were built, because I don't think the pyramids were built then. I think the evidence shows the pyramids were built much, much earlier, a great deal earlier than the standard Egyptologist story about the pyramids. So it wouldn't be hard for this undersea city to predate that date, but it may be that it doesn't predate the actual date of when the pyramids were built. You know, the actual date when the pyramids were built, When was that? Well, Dr. Robert Schock, who has been a guest on this show, has done a lot of work with that as a geologist, and he has been able to prove to the satisfaction of standard academia that the Sphinx has to be older than around 12,500 years because of water erosion in the Sphinx complex. And as a geologist, he's studied that water erosion, and the last time there was enough water to do that was around 12,500, something like that. And it's been accepted. That's been accepted by other noted geologists who have looked at the data and said, yep, that's right. Okay, now the Sphinx was there before the pyramids, according to some ancient texts, but also according to the geological information. When a geologist looks at the pyramids and what erosion is there, the pyramids were built after the Sphinx. However, they were built at a time sufficient for them to have been inundated with some massive flood. So we're looking at probably 10,000 to maybe 12,000 years back for the pyramids' origination. Now, this city that has been discovered, or at least that's what the people who discovered it call it, they say it's a massive city under the water in the Caribbean. And they're saying it predates the pyramids. Now, it is possible that that's true. It's also possible that this city maybe was at about the same time that the pyramids were built. Perhaps this city was built at about that same time. There seems to have been worldwide a great deal of high-tech building going on at about that time. I mean, look, the Great Pyramid of Egypt is a high-tech building. We cannot build that pyramid today. With our technology, we could not build the pyramid today. Now, I know there are people who say, oh, yeah, we could. No, you couldn't. You could build a pyramid, but you could not build that one with the size blocks that are used in that one. You could not build that pyramid. We don't have the technology to do it. So there was some type of high-tech technology taking place, and there are cities and structures all around the world that speak about that. And when I say speak, I'm talking about their existence. The fact that they exist speaks to the fact that there was some kind of high technology building going on at the time. For instance, the pyramids are built out of material too hard for the copper tools and implements that the Egyptians had at the time when the Egyptologists say the pyramids were built. They say they were built about 2500 BC. Well, in 2500 BC, the Egyptian people were using copper tools, and the copper tools are not hard enough to cut those stones. It's really that simple. They didn't do it. If they did do it, they didn't do it with copper tools. And so, you know, then the question is, where we found the copper tools, where are the other tools that they really used for cutting those stones? Then how did they move them? I mean, we're talking about stones so massive, so heavy, that the biggest heavy lift cranes we have today would really struggle to pick them up, if they could pick them up. And yet, in 2500 BC, I don't think so. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. It's been a pleasure. Until next time, So long, everybody.